From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 17th day of December 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, contractors may begin demolition of the rock pinnacles in the Mississippi River as soon as tomorrow. A six-mile stretch of the river will be closed for the day. And Washington, D.C. farm bill negotiators from the Senate and the House have come to an impasse. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour, and then I'll have some tax advice for how to deal with crop insurance income and whether or not to defer it to 2013. Hey, don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks up at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
In Chicago, on a Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Settlement prices in from the soft red winter wheat at $8.08 in the nearby March contract, down 6 on the day. July futures were 5 3/4 lower, settled 8.27 1/4. The hard red in Kansas City up 0.75 cents, settlement price at $8.82. March corn futures at 7.23, and this is a close and not a settlement, at 7 3/4 cents lower. May 7.27 1/4, down 6.5, and July at 7.25 1/2, down 4 3/4. September closed to 6.43 1/2, 6 cents lower in the corn pit. In December of next year at 6.24 1/2 for new crop, 3 1/2 cents lower. The March contract of 2014 at $6.31 3/4, down 4 3/4 from the bean pit closes and not settlement prices at $14.95 in the lead option. January, a penny lower. March futures 14.86, down 5 1/2, and the May at 14.65, 6 1/2 cents lower. July soybeans 14.51 1/2, down 1 1/2. The August at 14.13 3/4, down 4 1/2, and September 1/4 lower at 13.65. November beans $13.20 1/2. They did finish 3 cents higher for the day. March bean meal down 2.30 in the lead. January lead at 20 cents lower for the bean oil. Live cattle futures December contract at 1.29, up to 10. The Feb's at 1.33.50, 90 cents higher. March feeders at 156.25, $1.22 1/2 higher, and lean hogs at 89.80, down at 60 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil, January contract at $87.43, 70 cents higher on the day. January RBOB gasoline, or the wholesale price, at $2.66 6/10 cents. That's 4 3/10 cents higher for the afternoon. Actually, that's 0.4 cents higher for the afternoon. Ethanol trading at 227 7/10, 2 1/10 cents lower. The difference between the two now 38 8/10 cents. The spread is positive. It's 2 4/10 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.36 3/10 cents, up 4 9/10. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.96 6/10. That's 1 1/2 cents lower for the afternoon. Gold futures at $1,697.30. The settlement price up $1.10. U.S. dollar trading at 79.57. That's just about unchanged on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We'll see a 40% chance of showers, cloudy, a high near 42 degrees today on a north-northwest wind at about 3 to 6 miles an hour. Tonight, that chance of showers continues at 20% before midnight, then mostly cloudy, a low of 31, light and variable winds. Tuesday, sunny skies, a high of 50 degrees on a south wind at 5 to 14. It could gust all the way to 20 miles an hour tomorrow. And then Tuesday evening, the clouds roll back in, a low of 33 degrees, the southwest wind at 5 to 9. And on Wednesday, partly sunny skies and a high near 51. Rain Wednesday night, a low of 37 degrees, chance of precipitation 80% Wednesday evening. Rain will continue into Thursday morning, likely ending by noon, then snow. Cloudy and a high near 40 degrees. It will drop in temperature throughout the day. Thursday evening, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, and 21. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Let's take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, is on the phone line as usual. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Can we expect light and variable trade for the week as we head into the holiday weekend and season?
Well, that would be the number one thing to look for. It kind of feels like no one really wants to put on a big position or take off a big position. Traders, for the most part, are focusing towards the holiday activities here as we move through the next 2 weeks. This would be the last full week of trade. There could be some activity through this week, but for the most part, the market will be subject to a violent move if some type of outside news would happen to surface to give reason to shift a position around. Whether it's some event in the southern hemisphere or some economic event or world event in general to cause a little havoc for the most part. But it seems like everyone's where they want to be. From a producer's point of view, they want the books pretty well squared up here for year-end purposes, not only producer, but even from a trading point of view. So we expect an orderly type of trade, barring nothing happen. And for the activity to pick up, we feel that's going to happen once the calendar turns 2013.
And a bit later in the program, Dave Dickey, I know, will tell us about the Mississippi River. They may start blasting those pinnacles between Cairo and St. Louis and kind of open the river up. They've also managed to put a little more water into the river, draining some out of a lake in the state of Illinois. Will that be helpful to basis going down the Mississippi River?
Well, that's kind of a concern. I think it'd be a little bit more attractive or interested if they bring in some Apache helicopters and try to use the military style to
you just want it done fast.
that would bring up ratings along the river there, and if they want a little bit more water flow, I think everybody should drink a little water, or maybe take an extra long shower. We can get the river mounts up, but it does appear we're going to get a little bit of moisture, a little bit more snowpack to work with. It's going to take time. Hopefully, they can use the lower water levels here to get things fixed up the way they want to. But hopefully, it'll heal itself. But basis is going to solve the problem. If it's at the Gulf, naturally, basis levels are going to rise to attract grain. It seems like the lower Mississippi, if they're not sold out or along the Ohio River Valley, if they can, float some moisture down through there, they can fulfill the needs that way. But the hot place to be looking at is the Pacific Northwest. Asia continues to be a buyer of U.S. beans, U.S. bean oil. And the major concern is something would happen in that Pacific Northwest. But it's going to take care of itself. Long term, it's still going to remain a concern as we remain in a moisture deficit situation. And I think everyone pretty well knows that that's the main artery for the agricultural supplies to flow out of the country from.
Have you been having many conversations with clients about next year's corn and soybean crops?
Pretty much so. Guys wanted to get this year printed and out of the books and look forward to 2013 here. A lot of guys have been really sharp marketers. I think it's due to you guys putting on some good programs and keeping them in tune, but they've really pushed the pencil here this fall. And ideas are, $6 plus on corn is attractive as long as we have some bushels. $13 plus on beans is attractive, and they've been putting a lot of pencil pushing into it and head scratching, and it's been one of these years that guys have really stepped up and wanting to put together a marketing program and sort of stay on top of things, Todd.
Anything in the livestock sector we had to cover for the day?
Well, the cattle market continues to be on fire
say.
We're looking at a little bit of weather activity around. continue to see market trade short numbers. And also, too, there was some talk of some mad cow surfacing in the southern hemisphere. I've not seen any confirmation of that. So it's just a combination of things coming together here to really support this beef sector here. Hogs, on the other hand, is sort of range-bound. We'll see how this Christmas ham demand flows here over the next week.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good. Have a good one.
Mm-hmm. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, a couple, two or three things to remind you of. Please do visit our website at willag.org. I urge you to hit our schedule or calendar tab there about halfway down the page. You'll find a lot of activities that are happening. The first thing in the new year, the 2013 January, are the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. I'll be out on the road for a couple of weeks across the state, six different cities. If you have not registered for the Corn and Soybean Classic Series, that's the crop production series that is offered by the University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences and U of I Extension. You can still do that through the end of the day today. Today is the last day to do that for pre-registration. Walk-ins, of course, are welcome. You can find all the dates and a link to register right there at willag.org. You'll find also some of our ag panels listed. We'll be out and about, and if you want to schedule one of those, you can just email Dave or myself, or you can call me at 217-333-9697. Something that is not on that schedule, but that I want you to think about, we'll be raising some funds for the Agricultural Communications Endowment Fund here at the University of Illinois, and for the hospitality folks on the 25th day of January. That's a Friday. Put that one on your schedule. And I'll tell you more about that later. But we're hoping, actually I know, Orion will be in on that day, and we'll have a book signing with him as well. So put that one on your schedule. We'll get you more details as we finalize those. Should be a fun evening. It's a Friday night. We're going to have supper right there in the Spice Box in the Veer Hall, and that'll be prepped by the folks in the hospitality program here at the University of Illinois. So January the 25th, put that one on your calendar as well. Lots of things happening in the month of January and February, and of course March, our All-Day Ag Outlook Day is scheduled then, and you can find the details at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Well, here's Dave Dickey, Usually Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, and has today's Agricultural News.
In agricultural news, the Army Corps of Engineers today says that contractors from Iowa and Ohio could begin demolition of the rock pinnacles on the bed of the Mississippi River south of St. Louis as early as tomorrow. The demolition of the massive formations near Thebes, Illinois, coincides with an unusual move by the agency to release water from a southern Illinois lake, adding a few inches of depth to a river that is getting lower by the day. The Corps said a six-mile stretch of the river will be closed to shipping starting tomorrow from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. to allow for the safe use of the explosives. Barges seeking passage will have to line up and wait for an eight-hour window when that stretch will be open. On Saturday, the Corps began releasing water at Carlisle Lake, saying the additional water flowing into the Mississippi will provide 6 inches of depth by Christmas Eve. Months of drought have left water levels up to 20 feet below normal, along a 180-mile stretch of the river from St. Louis to Cairo, Illinois. The organization, Taxpayers for Common Sense, says the Congressional Budget Office has been wildly off the mark in estimating future costs of farm legislation. CBO estimated the cost of the 2002 Farm Bill was $451 billion, but actual spending came in at $587 billion. In 2008, CBO's estimate was $604 billion, but the 2008 Farm Bill ended up costing $912 billion. The Treasury Department today says that foreign demand for U.S. Treasury securities rose to a record level in October. Total foreign holdings rose to $5.48 trillion in October, up 0.1% from September. China, the largest holder of U.S. government debt, increased its holdings slightly to $1.16 trillion. Japan, the second largest holder, boosted its holdings by a smaller amount to $1.13 trillion. Negotiations between the Senate and House Agriculture Committees on the Farm Bill apparently have ground to a halt, at least publicly. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Debbie Stabenow says the Senate has made the best offer it could, while House Agriculture Committee leaders accused the senators of bad faith in the negotiations. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and the January Corn and Soybean Classic Series. By the way, you have through the end of the day today to pre-register for that series. The crop scientist and I will be on the road in January to six sites across the state of Illinois if you're looking for some CCA credits or just the latest information on crop production for corn, soybeans, and wheat in the state of Illinois. It would be great to see you in the month of January. You can visit our website at willag.org and then hit schedule. You'll find a link to the CropSci Conferences website. It's actually CropSciConferences.com. However you get there, sign up today. Pre-registration closes this evening. Now, up next, you know, last week I was on the road with the ag economist from the University of Illinois for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits, and we talked a bit about crop insurance and how to deal with the income from 2012 and whether or not it should be put into the 2013 tax year. Farmers do have the option of deferring some of their income. I spoke with specialist Gary Hoff.
If you can calculate your numbers for 2013 and calculate them for 2012, you can see how much higher that income would be. And then you make the decision, do I report that income in 2012, meaning I don't defer crop insurance payments I received, or do I defer it into 2013?
And do you have some rough numbers that seem to make sense as to when you might defer and when you might not?
It's on an individual situation. I mean, in my presentation, I take a hypothetical and give a set of numbers. For that particular set of numbers, the difference was $7,800 by doing the deferral. But it will change for everyone.
So everybody needs to get with their tax person, make sure that they understand what their income this year is, what their potential income next year is, and put the numbers in as they are currently set forth by Washington, D.C. for tax rates and see whether it makes sense to defer.
You're exactly right, Todd. The other thing to consider is holding off on filing your income tax return. Farmers are under the misinterpretation that they have to file by March 1. That's not correct. All individual returns are due on April 15th. All taxpayers are required to file estimated tax returns if they're going to owe over $1,000 of tax when they file the return. Farmers, though, are given a special provision. That provision is you will not be penalized for not making estimated payments if you file your return by March 1. This is certainly the year to make an estimated payment And farmers have this special estimated provision that says you can make just one payment by January 15th of 2013 and be penalty proof. You base that January 15th payment on 100% of your 2011 tax liability or 110% of your 2011 tax liability if your income was over $150,000, or if you can estimate your 2012 liability paying 90% of that. Now, by being penalty proof and having that April 15th filing deadline, I can also file an extension. I can file an extension up to October 15th. We will know, I think, what the tax laws for 2013 will be by October 15th. So you can make that decision on whether to defer the crop or not at the time you file the tax return and know exactly what the savings will be and in which years you should report the income.
Gary Hoff is a tax specialist at the University of Illinois. You can read more from him on the FarmDoc website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The Illinois Farm Economics Summit series should be up this week and next. Be sure to visit www.farmdocdaily.illinois.edu.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line, Greg Johnson at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County to look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Expecting a light week, I bet, this week.
Yes, yeah. Between the lower prices and the holiday season, it seems like the farmer interest has really slowed down quite a bit.
As you talk with the folks internally there and others, when do you expect basis to kick back in?
Well, we're starting to see a little bit of basis improvement as we speak. We improved our old crop corn bid by 3 cents today. You know, very little movement, so we're trying to improve the basis and see if that'll generate a little bit of movement. But more than likely, it's going to take a little bit more of a rally in the futures before farmers get too excited.
Yeah, they like an $8 cash price.
Anything close to that would be good.
Anything close to that, huh? Less optimism on your part for an $8 cash price, I take it at this point. Then.
Well, yeah, between now and the end of the year, it's going to be almost impossible. But depending on what the government tells us on Jan 11, maybe we can see some better prices in Jan and Feb.
How are rail bids going to the southeast?
Yes. Yes, and rail bids look a little bit better again. Yeah, they got pretty cheap there late November, early December, but it seems like we're starting to find a bottom and they're starting to improve slightly.
End users hunting at all for soybeans?
For soybeans, yes. Basis levels still continue to be very, very firm down at the Gulf, and that's translating back into better rail bids here in the Midwest.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn, 737. New corn, 602. Cash beans, 1501. New beans, 1234. And new crop wheat, 794.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. I'll be back in a couple minutes. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
It's National Maple Syrup Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1843, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol was published. In 1857, Sir Francis Beaufort died. He invented the Windforce scale. Officially adopted by the British Admiralty in 1838, it used numbers 0 to 12 to designate calm, light air, light breeze, gentle breeze, moderate breeze, fresh breeze, moderate gale, fresh gale, strong gale, whole gale, storm, and hurricane. In 1870, Bert Benjamin was born. An American inventor, he is responsible for the Farmall tractor and the power takeoff system on agricultural tractors. The Farmall was the first tractor that could plow and cultivate row crops. Benjamin, a graduate from Iowa State College, held 140 patents, ranging from a corn picker to a corn shredder to a corn binder. He spent nearly 40 years with the International Harvester Company. In 1892, George Brayton died. An American engineer, he invented the first commercial gas internal combustion engine. In 1903, powered human flight was achieved by the Wright brothers at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. And in 1940, corn silk was recorded by Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line. Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. He's looking down from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
It's kind of a gray and cloudy day here. How about where you are?
Same here up in the Chicago, Todd. Now, we're not getting some of the rain showers down in the Champaign-Urbana area, but and as well as over to Bloomington, Springfield. But, yeah, overcast skies, temperatures here only in the upper 30s.
By about this time, let's see, it's the 17th. I think the average one-inch rainfall for our area comes on the 18th of December. Doesn't look like we're going to get that here, but apparently we'll get some snow at some point, right?
Yeah, it's looking like things are changing here in this kind of snow-free weather that we've seen here to start off winter, or at least meteorological winter here so far in December. That looks to be changing here by week's end, especially if you're living in areas of western and northern Illinois, which looks to get first snow here coming up on Thursday. The way it looks right now is that areas closest to the Wisconsin border look to receive the highest totals, which right now look to be kind of on the order of about 4 to 6 inches.
Oh.
But there could even be upwards to an inch here of slushy snow in areas of north central Illinois as well.
Does that come along with really cold air or anything along those lines?
Is it yeah, we are going to see a turn to colder conditions, although it won't be turning bitterly cold. But, yeah, temperatures will be dropping down to slightly below normal levels, you know, meaning high temperatures only in the low 30s, minimum temperatures then dropping into the teens for several days. At least at the present time, over the next 10 days, not going to see any real bitterly cold temperatures, which sometimes by the middle to end of December, you can get that here.
I'm thinking that on Friday, the beginning of December was running about 9 degrees above normal for the month, at least in our area, and even a degree and a half for the month average above November. That'll change, I guess.
Yeah, it will be, and we're seeing signs of that changing here. Again, starting with the storm system here on Thursday. But prior to that, still another couple days of, while temperatures are only about 40 degrees or so, that still is milder than normal for this time of year.
Turn your attention to South America. How's their crop doing?
We think they're doing, they're in good shape here, Todd, both in Argentina and Brazil. Now, Argentina has, again, turned more active here. We saw some heavier thunderstorms this weekend, another main rain event here coming up Tuesday on through Thursday. Yeah, that will be followed by another significant rain event to start of next week. So kind of a mixed bag in Argentina. Still is going to delay some winter wheat harvesting and some late soybean planting. But from a soil moisture standpoint, it's a significant boost in soil moisture reserves here. And year-on-year comparisons, Tanya, Argentina a year ago in December was already trending very dry. This is the opposite trend this year so far.
All right. Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Helps us wrap up this edition. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.